Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. What a blessing that was. It's been a blessing just being in the church once again. If you have your Bibles with you, look. If you'd look with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 73. Psalms chapter 73. On Sunday nights, we've been preaching and teaching on what God has to say about stress. And stress is a part of everybody's lives. And sometimes we have more stress than other times in our lives because of circumstances and situations we find ourselves in. And the first thing we had to do is to get into the Bible to understand just where stress comes from. And even the doctors can't really pinpoint it. They can tell, blame everything on it and how that it affects everything about your body and your health. And it does. It affects your nervous system. And if you understand how the body is designed, you have nerves all through the body going doing everything and everywhere. And so they just know that it affects the nervous system and all the different things. But as we look into the Bible, we have to find out just what the Bible says about the roots of it. Where does it come from? And we spent several messages establishing what God reveals to us concerning that. And we know that we can trace it all the way back to Adam and Eve. And we can trace it back to sin. And from that moment that they sinned against God, and they, at that point, then received a sin nature. And at that point, the stress came into their lives. Outside of that, God had provided a stress-free environment in the Garden of Eden. The only other stress-free environment that we will be able to enjoy is going to be heaven. Because if you're there, it's not stress-free. Amen. Because wherever you go, you take that sin nature with you. Wherever I go, I take the sin nature with me. So wherever there's people, there's going to be stress because of the root of stress, understanding that. So everybody's trying to find a stress-free environment for vacation. Listen to me. Now, you might have less obstacles to deal with, but if you're there, stress is going to be there as well. And so we need to learn about how the Bible gives to us information and how to deal with the stress in our lives. We find this as we study the roots of stress. We need to stop allowing the old nature to control our thoughts. Because if it comes from the old nature, then we have to die daily. We have to crucify that old nature. We have to stop allowing the old nature to work on our imaginations. We have to stop allowing the old nature to get us to see things as the devil wants us to see it instead of how God wants us to see it. Amen. So the idea there is we have to start looking to the new nature because God is the answer to stress. We started looking at some examples of distress. Now, you'll not find the word stress in the Bible. You'll find situations where the Bible says they were in distress. And that word distress means a state of extreme stress. And you'll find that throughout the scriptures, especially with the nation of Israel. And it's always associated with them yielding to the sinful nature and turning away from the commandments of God. And so we find that. Now, there's innocent victims. Last week, we studied the idea of Joseph's brothers. They were not innocent. They sold their brother into slavery. And as much as you want to do that, you cannot sell your siblings into slavery and expect to have no stress in that. It's going to come back to haunt you. Amen? And so we find that they had a life, 28 years, and they had no blessings of God. Now, Jacob was innocent. He thought that his son had been killed by a wild animal, and so that caused him to doubt God's promises, the Abrahamic covenant, the promises that was passed down to him. So for all that time, Satan had him blinded by a lie that caused him stress and limited God's blessings on his life. 28 years. Satan loves to work through stress. He loves to blind you to truth. He loves for you to yield to the old nature, the sinful nature, and allow that to control your thinking because stress is coming from that. It comes from within. It comes from within. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the psalmist, and I believe this is a psalm that can help us in understanding how to deal with stress. It is basic truth tonight, and if you will, this is what I would counsel you. If you come into my office and said, "Preacher, I'm dealing with stress, how do I deal with it?" And so everybody tonight, you're going to get biblical counseling on how to deal with whatever Satan is using to bring stress into your life, all right? So stand with me, let's read here. We're going to be reading the first three verses, and then we'll read the last three verses, and we'll study the entire psalm. But the psalmist here writes, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Look at verse 26. "My flesh and my heart faileth." He's allowing this inside of him, this stress, to overcome him. He's about ready to fall. He can't even stand up. And he says, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring," or backsliding, turning away from God, "from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." Wow. From where he started out to where he ended up, what a blessing. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight, and we thank you for the opportunity to be in church. And Lord, I just pray as we study this psalm that you would help us to learn what this psalmist learned and be able to put it into practical counsel and help that all of us can understand it and apply it. Bless now the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So at first, as we look there to verse 2 and 3, the psalmist was ready to fall, confused, not knowing what to do, not being able to stand. And it's because of wrong thinking. "For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Now he looked at those that were not the children of God. He looked at those around him that seemed to be prospering in this world, and he was struggling in this world. He looked around and started comparing his own life with the lives of others, and it just brought him down because he didn't have what he possibly thought he should have had. And he started comparing himself with and being envious of the foolish. The lost were prospering and didn't seem to have any problems. No doubt this was causing him to stress out over his own troubles because he wasn't trusting in God, because he wasn't thinking as God would have him to think. He was looking at this world and this world's goods to determine God's blessings upon his life. Yeah. Doubted God's existence. You see, when you start comparing and you say, "Well, wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to be the children of God, and the children of God should have more blessings than the ungodly." The Bible has never promised that. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says you will have the presence of God, which is the greatest blessing of all. You'll not have to go through anything alone. But to think that I'm going to have everything that everyone else does is carnal. And to give your life for this world's goods is carnal. That's not thinking as God would have you to think. And so we find here, and even the psalmist, as he writes, he actually realizes that this was causing these problems. It was causing him to not to be able to stand and to have to be confused and in stress, if you will. Doubted God's existence, doubted God's love, doubted God's care, doubted the very words that he had to go by. And then in verse 17, now you could read the rest of that and find some other things he says, and that's, you can find his thinking is off. His thinking is clouded by the things of this world. Satan is having a heyday with his sinful nature and getting him to yield to the thoughts that the sinful nature would present to him. And then he says this in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. What they have is temporal. And it's all going to burn up. And they themselves will spend an eternity in the devil's hell. What I have is eternal. And this is as bad as it gets. No matter how good or how bad, this is as bad as it gets for you. Because after this, praise God, we have eternal life in heaven and a glorified body. That's thinking after the nature of God. That's claiming the promises of God and understanding what God has given to us, His promises, His trust, the revelation of what we have to look forward to. But he said, I didn't understand that until I went into the sanctuary. Got away from the worldly philosophies. Got away from all the worldly temptations. I went to a place that was set aside for worship. Went to a place that was a place of refuge. So I went to the sanctuary of God. Then understood I. Because it helped me to block everything else out. It helped me to understand truth. It helped me to focus on the promises of God. Yeah. Then verse 26, after he did that, it says, my flesh and my heart faileth. When I walked into it, I was failing, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. When I went to the sanctuary, I realized God is real. I sensed His presence. I heard His message proclaimed. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust, got back to putting my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works, I might continue to do what I'm here to do. Now, that's the psalm. With this, I'm going to give you four steps to take as we focus on God instead of stress. Focus on the promises of God instead of the old sinful nature and the thoughts that Satan would love to put in your heart and your mind. When you're facing situations, as I said, we've not been promised a stress-free life. We're going to face things that if you allow it to, it will destroy you. But if you do what God tells you to do, you can overcome it. Yeah. The first thing when facing stress, the first thing to do when you're facing this almost ready to fall, almost ready to just give up and just want to die or whatever it might be, the first thing you need to do when you're facing something that Satan wants to use to bring stress and into your life and defeat you is, first of all, we ask ourselves, what can I do? The psalmist in verse 1 all the way down to verse 16, he's looking around at everything else and he was not focused on the words of God. He was focused on what he was hearing in the world. He was focused on what his eyes were looking at. He was focused on what seemed to be they were enjoying their lives and they didn't have any stress and they didn't have any troubles and they were enjoying living ungodly lives and they were far blessed, greater than what he was being blessed. And all this caused all this confusion and a misunderstanding of God. And then he realized, what can I do? And the Bible says, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Look to God for answers. Look to God for solutions. Look to God for insight. Look to the Word of God and determine if your thinking aligns itself with what the Bible teaches. Or is your thinking been polluted by the ways and the philosophies of the world? Until you look to that, until you do what you can do, there's no help. Ask yourself, what can I do? Can I tell you that first of all, you need to stop worrying? And I've told so many people this is so important that we understand there's a difference between worrying and being concerned. Amen. We need to be concerned about everything. Because being concerned allows me to realize what I can do. We worry about things that most of the time we have no control over. We let things that we cannot control control us. And if you focus on that which you cannot control and you allow that to control you, what's going to come of that? It's going to overpower you with stress. It will destroy your health. It will destroy your peace. It will take away all the blessings of God from your existence. And that's exactly where Satan wants you. Luke in chapter 19. That's a biblical principle we read in the Old Testament, even the Psalms, and we find Jesus gave us illustrations that will help us to apply biblical principles. In Luke in chapter 19, we find this. Luke in chapter 19, he gives a parable of a certain nobleman going into a far country, and before he left, he had 10 servants, and he gave his 10 servants 10 pounds. However, he divided up, they at least all had 1 pound, possibly 10 pounds. He only reveals three, but each one had a pound. And the Bible says this in chapter 19 and verse 12, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, sometimes we lose sight of this, said unto every one of them, occupy till I come. Now, no matter what else it says about it, his instructions to them is no matter what you're faced with, I've given you something, and what I want you to do with whatever you have is occupy. Occupy till I come. There's always something that we can do in every situation. Most often, as I said before, the things that bring about stress involve something I cannot control. If you cannot control it, then God does not want you to control it. If you cannot control it, then that is not something that you can do, but there is always something you can do in the midst of dealing with something that you have no control over. And in the idea here is, do not allow that to control you. Do not allow yourself to stress out about things that you cannot do anything about. That's the old nature. Have wisdom enough to realize there's nothing I can do about that. I can't go back and change it. I cannot prevent it once it's happened. There's nothing I can do about it, so I'm not going to allow that to stress me out. I'm going to look at that. I'm faced with that. What can I do now? Do what you can. Occupy till I come. As long as you're here and the Lord has not returned, there's still something that you're here to accomplish. God has you here to do something. Stay focused on doing what you can do, no matter what the circumstances. Occupy, the only one that he talked negative about was the one who hid it and did nothing with it. No matter what the others did, no matter, he gave it to them, he knew what they could do with what he gave them. Some produced 10 pounds with 1 pound, some produced 5, and you might be able to take what God's given you and do a lot with it. Praise God for that. But the one thing that every Christian has is at least 1 pound. And the very least you could do is produce 1 pound. If you bury it and decide there's nothing I can do about it, and you do nothing, then you're at fault. If you allow that to keep you from doing anything, Satan's got the victory. And it'll destroy you because it takes you out of receiving the blessings of God. Occupy till I come. The psalmist started thinking, what can I do? I can get more information. I can go somewhere where I know that can help me understand more about what's going on. I can go somewhere that I know is a place of refuge. I can go somewhere I know where I can be encouraged. I can go somewhere that I know where I can hear the truth. The very least you can do is get more information about what you're facing. And I'm not talking about necessarily going to the doctor. I'm talking about coming to the church and get the spiritual insight that you have need to receive. You have need to see the spiritual impact, because we fight a spiritual battle before we fight a physical battle. In order to win the battle, you have to win the spiritual battle first. And the spiritual battle takes place right up here. If you're not receiving the right information, you're not going to end up doing the right things. So the first thing that he did is ask yourself, what can I do? What can I do? The second thing that you need to do is ask yourself, what can God do? Is anything too hard for God? Did you hear that tonight already? Yeah. Chapter 73, the psalmist here, once he went to the sanctuary and he started getting the information he needed, he says in verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart. I'm not strong enough to deal with it, but God sure can. And God can strengthen me to deal with whatever. With that in mind, look to Luke in chapter 1. Luke in chapter 1. Jesus gave us an illustration here to help us with this. Luke writes in Luke in chapter 1 in verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Wow. With God. Once I've asked myself, what can I do? And I've committed myself to doing it. Then I ask, all right, with what I'm faced with, what can God do? Think about your situation that's causing you all the stress right now in your life and ask yourself, what could God do to work it out? Well, preacher, this will take a miracle. I mean, what I'm going through right now, just take a miracle to work it out. Can I tell you, God still performs miracles. If that's within God's will for your life, God can perform that miracle. But you have to ask yourself, what can God do? You start thinking about what God has done in the past, maybe like speaking the world into existence. Forming man out of the dust of the ground. Breathing into his nostrils an eternal soul. I'm just asking, have you considered what God can do? When you understand what God can do, even if it's not his will to do it, when you understand he can do it, he could do it, you understand, you start thinking about all that God could do and understanding that that would fix the problem, that would take care of the situation, understanding what God could do will strengthen you. It'll help you. So he went, he did what he could do. He went to the sanctuary. And in the sanctuary, he finally realized God can strengthen me. God can fix all of this. The third thing, pray that God to do it. Verse 27, 28, Psalmist, that's just basically where he got down to. Once he understood that God was his strength, then he turned to God. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Jesus wanted his disciples to know, if you have faith, even the faith of a mustard seed in what God could do, you can move mountains. Because God can move mountains. And prayer is your communication to God for that mountain to move. Pray that God would do it. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. So pray that God would do it. Once you have peace, it's something that God would do. Once you have peace to pray in a certain way, pray. You see, when you're in the sanctuary, you're looking to the Word of God, you're looking to what God has already given to you, and you understand what God could do, and there's nothing impossible with God. Now I've got to have peace about asking God to do what He can do to fix the problem. How many of you right now could pray with peace, God, give me the most expensive car there is on planet Earth? You might say those words, but there's really nothing inside of you that's given you peace about praying that prayer. Now, if there was a need for you to have the most expensive car for whatever reason, I can't imagine what that, but if God says there's a need, just like it would be to move a mountain, because I know that God could do that. But really, I'm asking this because I'm asking for selfish reasons. And you have not, because you ask not. Sometimes we ask amiss. We don't have the peace about asking, and we ask anyway. Don't expect that prayer to be answered. The Spirit of God lives inside of you, and He is there to give you peace about what you should be and could be praying for. Amen. Yeah. So when I pray, I need to already have spent some time with God and looking at what is the problem and what I can do, and I'm ready to do that. I'm committed to doing that. And then I look to see, all right, God, what you could do. I mean, this could be fixed if this happened or that happened. It could be fixed a lot of different ways. And once I have peace, now I have this privilege as a born-again believer. I have communication with God, and now all I have to do is ask. But I have to have peace about asking. Sometimes that peace comes with you just getting alone with God and talking with God. And so saying, God, you know the circumstances. Let me just verbalize them so that I will hear myself. And sometimes in a prayer closet, it's good for you to speak out loud. Because God listens from the heart, but sometimes we have to hear ourselves. And once you say something, you think, you know, Lord, forget it. That was pretty selfish, wasn't it? Lord, that brings that. I've heard myself ask that, and really, I don't feel good about myself. How can I ask you something that I really don't feel like is going to advance the cause of Christ, or that I really don't feel like it's your will for my life? Lord, I cannot ask that. I'm not going to ask that. That'll take care of it. But if you have peace, once you've spent the time with God, and you have peace about asking God, who can do anything, peace about asking him, no matter if it's a miracle or not. You ask. You ask. And you continue to pray and ask as long as you have peace to ask. There have been times that I've prayed a very short matter of time, and peace was taken away. In time, it worked out, and I understood, no, that's really not. I have peace about asking because I'm still in my heart thinking there's a possibility this is going to happen. And I'm asking that with a peace about asking it. But after time, I start understanding other things going on, and I don't have peace about asking that prayer. It's like God's already shown me that that's not a prayer he wants to answer. But now I've got peace about it. Sometimes it just takes peace, takes time to get a peace about what God is doing. Amen? There's been other times that I've prayed for years, a certain prayer. And I had peace about praying it, and I continue to pray it. Most of the times when I have extended prayers like that, it's about for someone to get saved, for God to send someone to this church to be able to meet a certain need, for something that's taken place. And I will continue to pray that prayer as long as until God answers it, or either he takes away the peace about praying. But you see, that's me doing something. That's me not only understanding what I can do before I look to God, but understanding what I can do and what God can do, and now what me and God can do together. And I pray that. And then fourthly, the psalmist said in the very last, I want to share that with you, verse 28, I've put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. You see, Israel in the Old Testament was there to represent God to the world by declaring his works. That's no different than us today. We're here to continue to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. We're continue to live as to representing Christ, telling others. The last thing, and possibly while I'm continuing to do the others, continue to press on. Don't let anything keep you from doing what God has you here to do. Well, I'm just so caught up in this and that and everything else, and I just can't continue to do it. Listen to me, that is not of God. Now, if you are physically ill or something taking place, then you can't do what you can't do. But you have to realize pressing on, continuing to do what God has planted you here to do is part of what's going to help you. Don't ever give up. Don't ever stop. Philippians in chapter 3, and you know it. Philippians in chapter 3. Sometimes we need to read it. We see it with our own eyes. Paul understood that. All the things that Paul had going on in his life. Paul said, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. You can't allow anything to keep you from pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That means continuing to do what God has you here to do. I know God will answer my prayer. And even if it's different from how I requested it, I can know that God knows best. And in the midst of it all, my help is in pressing on. Think about some illustrations maybe, fears about losing my job. Have fears about losing a job, possibly fears about not being able to provide for my family, not being able to pay my bills, not being able to do this or that. First thing, what can I do? Continue to work hard. I can't go to work today because I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. The worst thing you can do is not go into work. They're going to lay off the lazy ones first, amen? They're going to find a way to get rid of you. You work hard. I can make it hard for them to say I can keep this business going without you. I can make it hard for them to say that I am not worth the money that they're paying me. What can I do? You work hard. Stop staying in bed fearful of what's going to happen before it ever happens. If there's a fear of it happening, then what you can do is, first of all, determine I'm going to be the best employee possible. I'm going to work hard. Second of all, what could God do? Well, God could bless my employer to where they start making money and they can keep the jobs. Would God do that? He'd do it for you. If you're his son, if you're his child, if that's where God wants to use you, God can bless that company for your sake. Can I tell you, there's a lot of worldly companies that are a success today because of some employees that have been praying for their employer. I believe that. Why? Because God can do anything that he wants to do. There's nothing impossible. God. So I've looked, what can I do? And then what could God do? Yes, God could bless your employer. Or God could open a door that you don't even know exists that could actually benefit you with more finances. That's what God could do. Just thinking about that ought to take some stress away. Amen. That's designed that way. And then what are you supposed to do? The third thing? Pray for God to do it. God, I know you're going to continue to supply our needs. I know that you're going to give me a job somewhere. God, if it be possible, bless this employer so that he can keep the employees. Or God, if you choose, open another door for me so that I can find employment elsewhere. But God, I am confident and I'm asking you because I have peace about knowing you want to supply my need so that I can supply the need of my family. It's a prayer that you can have peace about asking. And when you pray that prayer, can I tell you what it'll do? It'll help you to take away the stress. Because now you have something that can work and will work in time. If you don't know God, you don't have that. But all those who know God know that prayer works. And then fourthly, be ready for God's answer as you work hard. Continue to do what you're there to do. Looking forward to God answering that prayer. Wow. Just keep on pressing on. Don't stop. Maybe you have a conflict in relationships. And you're stressed out over it. It's something that Satan is using to try to destroy you, and destroying you would destroy those around you as well. Wow, how do I deal with that? Well, same way. You can't do anything about yesterday, but the future is all in your hands. What can I do? What can I do? Not what the other person can do. If this person does this, this, and this, and this, and this. No, I'm not saying that. You can't control that. The first thing that you need to do is look at yourself, look at your life, and say, God, what can I do? What might fix that is going to somebody and admitting that you were wrong and apologizing and asking for forgiveness. That'd take some humility. But I think that's what God blesses. Another, it might be that you admit that you were wrong. Amen? And when somebody comes to you wanting to work it out, saying, I forgive you. Sometimes just forgiving somebody will fix a relationship that Satan is trying to destroy with stress. So what can I do? Sometimes it's just let love cover. Because the other person's having a happy time and you're stressed out over it. Amen. They don't even know there's a problem, but you can't sleep at night because of it. Listen to me. Just fix it in your mind. Just ask God to give you enough love to let love cover it and put it behind you. Show yourself friendly. Give a smile. What can I do? What could God do? To fix that situation, could God fix a marriage? Could God fix a friendship? Could God fix a relational problem? Well, let me see. Now, what did God do in the very beginning? He spoke the world into existence. He created you from the dust of the ground. And you don't think that God can do anything to fix it? You don't think it's fixable? Get your mind back on the Word of God and on who God is, and get your mind away from that old sinful nature. Yes, God can fix it. God can do something that you can't do, or possibly anyone else can do. God can work on the inside of an individual. God can work on the hearts. He can turn the hearts of kings. Yeah. Do you have peace about praying for that? Why aren't you praying for it? It's something that is tearing you up. It's something that's destroying you and your family, possibly other members of the church, other people in the neighborhood, and the stress is overwhelming, and yet you're not praying about what you can do and doing what you can do and understanding what God can do and asking God to do it. Maybe God's just waiting for you just to get on your knees and cry out to God to do what needs to be done to fix it. It's not an overnight, one-time thing. Continue to pray it as long as God gives you peace about praying it, even if it's years. Pray for it. But while you're praying for it and while you're waiting for something to happen to fix it, move on. Press on. Keep serving. Keep doing what God has you here to do. Health problems, whatever the circumstance, whatever you're facing, 4 steps. If you'll do those things, I think you'll find grace to help in our time of need. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Have you asked yourself, what can I do? Stop asking yourself what everyone else needs to do. Ask yourself, God, what would you have me to do? Be aware of what God could do. Be aware of what God can do. Pray. Pray that God will do it. And continue to pray until it's done. But while you're waiting, press on. Keep pressing on. Father, we bow before you. We love you. Thank you for the truth of this passage of scripture, the psalmist, and we see what went on in his life, and I think most of us here can identify with it at some point or other. And as we look into the New Testament, we find these biblical principles presented, understanding these are steps that we need to take. I pray that we'd take them. Help us, Lord. Help us as we face the struggles in this life to have that continued peace that you offer. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.